Joe Thomas, Reel 2.
Could you say a bit more about the trip to Mysore?
Oh, to the palace? Yeah. Oh, yes. It was really a magnificent place. Magnificent, there were no two ways about it. Of course, a day, you don't get a very great impression in one day going into a place of that description. But in the evening, going through the palace, all the different rooms were all the gold room and such like. It was absolutely magnificent. But of course, as far as the troops were concerned, it was the food and drink that interested them more. But the palace, well, he even had a private zoo in the grounds, and he was a I think he was a Eton educated man. He was only a youngish chap, but he always took to our regiment afterwards, and he followed the fortunes of the regiment all the time we were in India. I don't know why, I'm sure, but he did. And even leaving India, when we left India, he presented every man with 100 rupees. He must have thought a bit about the regiment.
Was the food you got a lot better than the stuff you had in Bangalore?
Oh yes, it was. Everything was served up, tipped up by his own servants, cooked in the palace, and served up by his own servants. Oh, it was absolutely waited on hand and foot, just like ordinary guests. We had a right royal day, but. Everything has to come to an end, and we had to leave and get back. We took the trip back to Bangalore, night marching during the night.
What sort of training did you do at Bangalore?
Well, ordinary infantry training. Open warfare training, really, for mountain warfare. Outside Bangalore city is a big open plain, and that's where we used to do our training, on this plain behind the city. We used to go out and march probably 8-10 miles back again, gradually getting acclimatized. That was the idea, I think, even at the present time. Up to the last war, they used Bangalore for the same reason, to acclimatize men that for India. But after leaving Bangalore, we moved up to the Punjab, For Gosipur. Gosipur was an awful place. A very bad military station.
Why?
A lot of sickness in Ferozepur. And we made one expedition from Ferozepur. That would be in 1917, the back end of 1917. And the tribesmen came down and they cut off Jatta Fort on the frontier. They caught half the patrol outside the fort and cut them to pieces. And, of course, that was the start of the Masood campaign. So we were sent from Ferozepur. We'd done a forced march across part of the Sindh Desert. But of course, by the time we got to the frontier, things had quieted down, the tribesmen had disappeared.
What?
And we returned. Eh?
What was crossing the desert line?
What did we...
Did you have to march at night?
We marched. We marched at night. We marched early morning and late in the evening. Eh? Camped during the day. Slept during the day. Marched early morning and in the evening. It was about, I should say, about 100 miles. anyhow, that was the start of the Masood campaign. That would be, I should say, as near as I can remember, back end of 1917. But we returned to Ferozepur, and then we moved headquarters from Ferozepur to Lahore in the Punjab. And then they prepared then for the Masood campaign. And we moved up to the Gumal Pass on the frontier. There was, I think, about two brigades and a mountain battery, as near as I could say. And we had something unusual. A small private army from Nepal, with the Prince of Nepal in command, which was something very unusual, because Nepal was neutral. But over that came, he brought this small army to help us. And of course we had the usual Gurkhas, we had the 25th County of London Regiment with us. And so we advanced up through the Gumal Pass by stages, about 70 miles. But the Gumal Pass, it's not like the Khyber Pass, it's only a riverbed, which during the monsoon season is impassable. And we had to pick our own road, make our own road through. And of course you advanced until you come to a suitable place, open place in the mountains, and then you set to work and you made your sanghas around the camp.
How did you do that?
That was with the boulders. You collected all the boulders of rock and circled all your camp with boulders. You had your transport, camels, obviously horses, mules in the centre, and then your bivouacs were on the outside of the circle, behind the stone wall. And so you went from one spot to another. Well, the job was that you couldn't engage a tribesman because it was guerrilla warfare. They were here, they were there, they were everywhere. You never seen them. So the job was to destroy the small places that they'd built to live in. They had small places with watchtowers. Each tribe seemed to have its own particular place. Because in normal times, I expect they would be fighting each other. But, of course, they all banded together to fight us. But it was our job to destroy these places. And the grain that they sowed to live on were always buried in these places. So that what they done was they destroyed the place and destroyed the food. Eh? But it was a very tedious job. And going up the valley, these tribesmen really, the tribesmen themselves, are no more than wild beasts. They live in caves. And they just get a living by just cultivating just odd places along the river bed, keeping a few goats, that's like, and what else they get, I don't know. It always puzzled me, but that's how they used to live. But we used to have to go and winkle these places out. Until we found it, when we went in, when we came out again, we were covered with bugs. So, in the finish, it was just a matter of hand grenade in, and that was it. And so we advanced right up through the Gummel Pass. And eventually it kind of quietened down, and the Masuds made a peace. A kind of peace, I should say, because even after we came back, the Masud campaign, I think it went on till 1922, I think it was. It was about 2 years afterwards, after we came back. But they were supposed to make a peace settlement with our commander. But we returned to India then.
Had the training in Bangalore, had it been a big help? Or were you learning things all the time?
Well, no. There's a lot of difference between warfare on a flat plain and mountain warfare. That's where the Gurkhas have it. See? They're bred in the mountains. And they can go up and down a mountain like a fly. They're bred to it, you see. and they're terrific fighters, the Gurkhas. Terrific. And we were always very, very friendly with them. And two particularly. They were lance corporals and eager to get on in the regiment. And they wanted to learn to speak English. And my pal and I, we were learning, two of them, speak English. And we always seem to be more or less in the company right throughout the campaign. And then coming back, when we got back, we camped, and there was a lot of sickness all right through the brigade. We lost more Indian troops than British troops through sickness. But yellow fever and such like. And one night, a Gurkha come to our tent. He said, "Johnny, and I just forget his name, a Gurkha's name, his first name." He mentioned his name. He just said, gone. He gave me his knife, his kukri, which I have at home now. That was it. But we went from there up into the Murray Hills to recuperate. But practically the whole regiment had yellow jaundice.
What was the medical attention like?
Well, your medical attention was, you were recruited in England, volunteers. The same as young doctors volunteering for the army, you see. Very little medical knowledge recruited into the army. There were your captains, your medical men, of course. As time went on, of course, they got the experience, but they were the same as everybody else. They were learning the same as what you were doing. See? They were. Even in Lahore, at one time, they were left with one surgeon. Dutchman, Van Sumeren, and he had packed the whole of the Punjab to look after. Of course, the war then had finished. This was 1919 that I'm talking about. Now, the war had finished and we were still in India, although we'd volunteered for the war. I went down with Eatstock and put on the sick. Well, the regiment was moved up the Khyber Pass. The Afghans had started to cause trouble. The war had finished. They'd been quiet all during the war. The war had finished. So the Afghans started to cause a bit of trouble. The regiment was moved up to up to Nushira. And Nushira, Peshawar. But I was kept behind and put into the hospital, as hospital orderly.
Why was that?
Well, because the hospital orderlies, they were the first aid men for the regiment, the bandsmen. So they had to go with the regiment. So they left nobody for the hospitals, you see. So, of course, they had to have somebody, so they simply got anybody they could lay their hands on. And people like myself who were supposed to be on light duty after being ill, light duty, medical orderly, you see. So, if you had to go, I was left of a night time with a ward with around about 40 men in, on my own. No medical knowledge at all, just simply dumped there. And one morning, the men say, what about my medicine, orderly? There was a medicine chest there. I said, you know what medicine you get? Aye. Well, go and get it. They went and got their own. That's all they could do. They knew more about it than what you did. And then after about 2 or 3 weeks, I moved from there to the surgical ward, where there was real serious cases. Men were dying, bringing them in wholesale, dying of fevers and one thing and another. And there was I, supposed to be a medical orderly, left in charge. We had one nurse, a young woman that came from then what was called Mesopotamia. She was on night duty. Took ill during the night. Me. I didn't know what to do. So I go over to the Indian doctor's quarters, who they lived in the compound of the hospital. Got the Indian doctor to come over, but he didn't touch her. Indian doctors at that time were not allowed to touch a white woman. So he gave me instructions what to do. And he just stood there while I done it. That was, of course, I'm going back now, 60 years. 1919. Things have altered a lot since then. So there we are. But after we've been after the troops came back, we got the riots. We thought we were never going to get home. Because we'd signed on for 3 years or duration of war. That was our signing on agreement when the war started. We'd already done 3.5 years then, and nowhere near getting home. Anyhow, the riots started. And at Lahore, we had rumours of trouble down in the city, but not so bad. And I was sent through to Amritsar for medical treatment for my eyes. I had been troubled with my eyes for a bit. And I thought, well,